Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's Pentecost meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the Savior of his people Israel, and the light to enlighten the Gentiles, dear fellow redeemed, how has God revealed himself to you? In the Old Testament, he revealed himself in dreams, in visions, and by the gift of the Holy Spirit through interpretation or inspiration to the apostles or the prophets. When God wanted young Joseph to know that he would rule over his brothers, he told him by revealing it in a dream. Some years later, he wanted his aged father, Jacob, not to be afraid to go to Egypt. And so God revealed it to him in a vision at night. God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. When God sent his prophets to reveal that the truth of the coming Messiah, who would be born of a virgin, suffer and die for the sins of the whole world, have a kingdom that would be eternal, extend all over the world, it was the Holy Spirit who gave special inspiration to Isaiah and Daniel and Zechariah. Through these dreams and visions and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to just a select few, not all the believers in the Old Testament. Through these visions and dreams and inspiration, they received fuller information concerning the salvation of God. But God reveal it to individuals, not everybody. For example, people didn't know that Jesus was going to be born of the Virgin Mary, the Virgin, until God revealed it to Isaiah through inspiration. And Isaiah then wrote it in his book, Isaiah 7. People didn't know that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem until he revealed it to Micah. And then Micah wrote it and revealed it in Micah 5. All the intimate details of Jesus' crucifixion on the cross wasn't known until God revealed it to David, and David then revealed it in Psalm 22. Through dreams and visions and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his prophets give a fuller revelation of his will and of his salvation. Remember that one time when Moses was asking God for help because he was in control of 2 million Israelites in the wilderness. And God took the spirit that was on Moses and placed it on 70 elders. And immediately those 70 elders began to prophesy. When Joshua heard that two of them were prophesying in the camp, he ran to Moses and he said, "Stop them, Moses." What was Moses' reply? He said, "Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Well, that wish by Moses came true by God when we read in Joel, afterward, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. The prophet Joel is prophesying a time when the Lord would pour out upon all of his spirit, people, the spirit, boys and girls, men and women, young and old, rich or poor, lowliest of slaves. When would that be? Remember, Scripture interprets Scripture. So we don't need to guess. The Scripture reveals when that would be. We just read Acts chapter 2 of the events that took place when the disciples had the Holy Spirit specially come upon them and gave them the ability to speak the wonderful works of God concerning Christ's death and resurrection in different languages so people from all over the world could hear that message in their own language. When the people asked themselves, whatever could this mean? Peter got up and he said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then Peter said those very words we just read, which is our text for this morning's sermon. So what is the Lord saying through Joel in this prophecy, some about 450 years before Pentecost? You read one line. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Literally, the word prophesy means to proclaim or reveal God's will. That's what the disciples were doing on the Pentecost. They were proclaiming and revealing God's will concerning Jesus, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, the announcement of forgiveness of sins and salvation. In the New Testament, we have all of that written down for us in the Bible. All of God's people can read that revelation. Boys and girls, men and women, rich or poor. And when we read it, we can also tell others about it. Now, the Old Testament believers knew about the Holy Spirit. In fact, the very second verse of the Bible, in Genesis 1, verse 2, talks about the Holy Spirit. We read, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We quoted that earlier in our responsive reading. David, when he prayed, said, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So if the Old Testament people already receive the Holy Spirit, then what is Joel foretelling about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Well, two Hebrew words in those verses answer that question for us. The one word, pour out, and the other word, all flesh. The word pour out refers to an abundant outpouring rather than a dabbing or a sprinkling of water. Even a few little sprinkles of the Holy Spirit would be fantastic for us undeserving people, but Joel promises that God will pour out his Spirit in the New Testament times. It will be a downpour, like we had this last past week and this morning, a downpour of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, not just select people like prophets, but on everybody who believes. The word flesh is the word that's used for our sinful condition. And so when we think about our flesh, which counts for nothing, it's worthless, it's helpless. In fact, we're spiritually dead in our flesh. We begin to realize what a great blessing this is, that the Holy Spirit's going to be poured upon our flesh and do what? Create life. Create spiritual life in our hearts as a free gift from God. And that's why our theme this morning is this. Praise God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We look at our first two points. It's a glorious gift, and it is a necessary gift. What's the gift again? The Father says, it is my Spirit. It's the third person of God who comes into our hearts through the power of the gospel and creates faith in our hearts. But not only does it create faith in our hearts, it keeps us in that faith, sustains our faith, preserves us in that faith until we're taken to be with our Savior face to face in our heavenly home. We have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, the gospel, so that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And to the power of the gospel, Holy Spirit doesn't just move us, but it compels us to live for Jesus and not selfishly for ourselves. That's not just a glorious gift. It's an absolutely necessary gift. Without the gift of the Holy Spirit, no one can come to faith in Jesus. Thirdly, we see it's also a practical gift. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was sprinkled only on a few, the prophets, or maybe those who had dreams and visions from God. But in the New Testament, the Lord says the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all people, all those who believe in Jesus. A rich measure of the Spirit has become upon us that we know the Scriptures. We have it written in His Word. And we have the ability to prophesy, that is, to speak and preach about Jesus. And what will happen in the future when Jesus comes again to take us to be with Him in heaven. So, do we expect this revelation to come in dreams, visions, or maybe direct inspiration by me? Now, Joel is using those terms, those Old Testament terms, to reveal what's going to happen in New Testament times afterward. It's like Isaiah when he said, later on, in the day of the Lord, all people will be priests and bring offerings and sacrifices. He didn't mean that we're all going to bring lambs and goats and rams and offer them on an altar dressed in high priest's garb. What he meant was we'd all do what the priests do, and that is offer up sacrifices of prayers, sacrifices of our repentance, praying for one another, and announcing forgiveness of sins to each other. Isaiah speaks against visions and dreams of spiritists and of mediums. He says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Remember that rich man that found himself in hell? And he cried out to Father Abraham and said, I've got five other brothers. Please send them a revelation, something to warn them to not come to hell like I am. And what did the Lord say? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But the work of the prophets was not just to hear and receive God's inspiration of His word, but to tell others about it. We see the beginning of the fulfillment then of this prophecy from Joel on that Pentecost Sunday, when these disciples, formerly timid, scared disciples, bravely, courageously stood up before the Jewish people, and yes, even the Jewish elders, and said, you crucified the Lord of glory. You put Him to death. But God the Father raised Him from the dead, and is the only way to salvation, by repenting and believing in Jesus Christ. The Lord does the same thing today through the Holy Spirit. He does it through our little children when they tell us a Christmas story on Christmas Eve. He does it through you, men and women, when you teach little children the story of Jesus in your Sunday school. He does it through you and me when we go and talk to our friends, our neighbors, our fellow workers, our classmates, and tell them Jesus suffered and died for them and rose again from the dead. He opens our mouths and gives us the courage to speak to others like the prophets of old and tell them about Jesus. Joel now jumps in the last couple verses of our text to the end times. And that happens very often in the Old Testament. The Old Testament looks at the Old New Testament as the day of the Lord. From the time of Christ's first coming to His second coming is one compact time, even though it's been 2,000 years since Jesus first came, and He's still not here yet. Until Joel now talks about the day of the Lord, the great day of judgment. Other prophets in the Old Testament talked about the same kinds of signs in the moon and the sun and stars. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 28, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Are those frightening thoughts? scary and fearful words of a time that we're afraid of? For the unbeliever, it'd be the most frightening day of their lives. But for those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Judgment Day will be the greatest, the best day of our lives. That's the last point then. For the believer in Christ, Joel says, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Fourth point, it's a saving gift. We've inherited all those blessings from Pentecost. All that the Holy Spirit has filled us in our hearts to do prepares us not only to survive judgment, but to be delivered on Judgment Day. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given to you and to me. The gift of faith in Jesus, the gift of repenting of our sins, the gift of knowing our sins are forgiven, the gift of knowing the scriptures, the gift of being able to have the power, the bravery, the courage to tell others about Jesus. And that gift will continue to prepare our hearts and our minds to stand on Judgment Day, knowing that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, God the Father will receive us into his kingdom. The Apostle Paul quotes this verse from Joel in his letter to the Romans. He said, whoever calls on his name, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Then he writes, how then shall he call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are some churches in our country and around the world that offer all kinds of social activities, services, recreational activities, huge facilities. They get involved in governmental policies. They promote physical welfare of society and of their community. And sometimes we feel a little apologetic because all that we have as a congregation to offer to the world is the word. But what does this world really need more than the word? Nothing. The good news of Jesus' sacrifice for the sins of all people is God's call to sinners to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus earned salvation for all people. And whoever believes in Jesus Christ, or as Joel says, calls upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. The Holy Spirit works that faith into our hearts through the gospel in word, the gospel and the sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper. The church is here to proclaim God's word, to preach forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name to our community here and throughout all the world. God has poured out the Spirit upon you and upon me, not to be spoken in different languages, but to speak to people we know and tell them about Jesus. May the Holy Spirit lead us to continue to do that day by day, week by week, year after year, until that final day dawns when Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead. And then we who rely upon Jesus, who trust in him as our Savior, who call upon the name of the Lord, will hear the greatest words ever. We'll hear Jesus say to us, come, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yes, we need to praise God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your minds and hearts centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.